A city vehicle hits a biker in Moorhead, and the results were fatal this morning. West Fargo sets utility rates, and the results are higher costs for residents. And the Minnesota Twins look to the future, and the results are a major house cleaning exercise. Who is left? I'm not sure that there's much of anybody left that I recognize. Good afternoon, my friend. Steve Hallstrom here with you for the Steve Hallstrom Show. It's July 31st, 2025, and the Minnesota State High School Girls Softball Tournament was still won by a guy. We're back here for our daily report card to you of what has happened in this crazy world. And for Addison and I, we're about halfway through our workday today, even though we've been at it here for a while. We've got our preseason Minnesota Vikings special, the Purple and Gold Report, coming up tonight at 6:30 on WDAY. If you're a Minnesota Vikings fan or a fan of the NFL of any kind, I think that you'll find something there definitely worth your while. We'll be talking about other teams in the division, the NFC, AFC, some Super Bowl picks as well, and some predictions on how things might go for the Minnesota Vikings. So that is coming up later today if you're interested in having a little more sports talk in your day. Between now and then, however, we've got a lot of news talk, issues talk, economics talk, prices talk, inflation talk. Got a whole bunch of things to bring to you here on this Thursday afternoon. And we can tell you that we got a couple of guests that will be on the program today. Kendall Qualls will be with us at 4:40 today, Republican candidate for Minnesota governor. And he's got some pretty strong opinions on what's going on across the state of Minnesota with some of this Medicaid fraud. And if you are the governor of Minnesota, you're going to have to try to figure out how to make Minneapolis not go so crazy that you kind of end up losing that part of the state that falls into a giant cavern of self-inflicted collapse, because that's what they seem to be heading toward in Minneapolis there. So we'll talk to Kendall about all of that. We'll talk about mortgage rates today, and National Association of Realtors says we have the answer of how far mortgage rates need to really fall to make a difference in home sales. I was a little surprised about this answer, I'll tell you, when I saw that. Jesse Johnner will be here, Cass County Sheriff. They're saying, hey, you know this jail addition that we have is going to bring like 200 new spots for the jail? Well, that means that some of these outstanding warrants that are out there, you people might want to take care of these, because now we've got the room to throw you in the pokey if we need to. So we'll talk to Jesse about that here on the show today. As I mentioned off the top of the program, the Minnesota Twins making major personnel changes today as the trade deadline is set for about an hour from now. And they have traded a number of high-profile players that started last night. My heart sunk. And all day long, I've been watching really good, solid major league players go out the door. Now, why is it they don't have a better record to show for it? Why are they out of the playoffs with all those players? I don't know. But they've gotten rid of a lot of them, including one I did not think that they were going to trade today. So we'll talk about all that here on the show. 701-271-1100 is our phone number. That's the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line. And they can get you in fast. So something to think about there, because if you need occupational therapy, physical therapy, maybe you need a nurse practitioner or emotional mental health counseling, well, they do it all. ValleyChristian.co, ValleyChristian.co. They're the sponsor of the phone line. You can email us as well, studio@flagfamily.com. And you can text us at 701-237-1590. Addison Loger is our producer, making it all happen behind the scenes. Good afternoon. Good sir. How are you?
I'm good. I'm fine. I'm, you know, I won't lie. I'm kind of baking alive in the control room today.
It's pretty, are you really?
It's pretty toasty in here. I've had to leave the door open.
Oh, I see that you have the door open in there. Well, we've had all kinds of weird things going on in the building today with the doors not opening and locking on their own, and the utilities maybe just, I don't know, all being thrown for a spin today. So
we, it's just one of those days.
We appreciate your resilience, good sir. Apologize for that. There's a fan in here, by the way, buddy. You can come and get this fan if you want.
I may come steal it over.
Yeah, well, you sure can. I don't need it in here. It's a little warm in the studio, but not too bad. So come on in and get the fan whenever you need to, good sir. All right, let's get to it here with the 4 o'clock wrap. Semi-automatic storylines, rapid-fire rundown of what's been happening today. And we start with the almanac for this day, July 31st, 2025. Tomorrow it's August already. Crazy how fast the summer does go. Average high for this day, 83. Average low, 59. Record high, 101 in 1987. Record low, 44 in 1903. It's amazing. I don't know how many days this month where 44 has been the record low. It feels like it's about every other day we get a 44 for some reason. I don't know. That's, I guess, the bottom bar there. I can tell you that the sunrise this morning was at 6:06. Sunset tonight will be at 9 o'clock, which means tomorrow the sun will set before 9. Yes, the summer is coming to an end. It sure is. In the markets today, the S&P 500 posts its third straight losing day. There was some good news from a couple of big tech companies. Meta, which is the Facebook people, and Microsoft had good earnings reports today, but it was not enough to lift the market. Dow was down 330 points, S&P 500 down 23, the NASDAQ was down 7. So not big losses, but they are losses nonetheless. WTI crude oil, which gets very interesting to watch right about now, because yesterday we were at about $70 a barrel, and that's the highest it had been in several weeks. Well, down about 50 cents today at $69.36 today. So oil continuing to kind of still stay in that upper 60s range, but looking like it might break out above 70, and not a big surprise when you see all the economic activity that is being forecast now for the country going forward with the president's economic agenda. Gold and silver both down just minimally today. Bitcoin today was pretty much unchanged as well, at about 117,000. Bitcoin putting in kind of a stable floor there to kind of wait and watch and see what happens from there. So things have gotten a little quiet in the Bitcoin trading. AAA says average price of a gallon of regular unleaded gas nationwide is $3.14, unchanged from yesterday. North Dakota average price $2.91. South Dakota $3.03. Minnesota $3.04. And diesel fuel unchanged today at $3.74. All right, in the news today, a number of very interesting stories. One of them, something you don't hear very often. The city of Moorhead says a deadly crash took place earlier today when a driver operating a city vehicle hit a bicyclist. It happened at 40th Avenue and 14th Street South near Reinertsen Elementary. We do not have an ID on the victim. The Minnesota State Patrol and local authorities were investigating, and there has not been a whole lot of reporting yet about what exactly happened there. And, you know, why the crash happened. So we're waiting for more details on that. Wells Fargo reports that residents will pay more for utilities starting next year. I don't know if these things ever factor into the inflation numbers, but they should. The city commission recently approved new fees for garbage, recycling, sewer, and water costs in the 2026 annual budget. Officials say the five-year public works plan was approved to help the city catch up on fees. Customers will now pay upwards of 50 cents to $15 more in monthly utilities depending on usage. The new utility rates will be effective starting January 1. The Forum reports today that the Cass County Jail getting ready to open its new 192-bed addition could lead to more people finding room in the expanded jail. The $31 million pod is slated to open here in a couple of weeks. And Cass County Sheriff Jesse Johnner says people will have a couple more weeks here until the jail opens, and if they don't take care of their outstanding warrants, they could end up behind bars. So they've set up a warrant hotline at 241-1283 that will help you get a court date scheduled or get information on how to pay your charges. So if you don't take care of your business on this, they're going to come get you, and you will end up getting a personalized tour of the new jail. WDAY Radio reports that the North Dakota legislature's new Feather Alert initiative will launch tomorrow. It's an emergency alert system that sends out urgent messages like the Silver Alert for elderly. What do we have here? We've got the Blue Alert for law enforcement, Amber Alert for the kids 17 and younger. Well, there's a new one now, the feather alert for missing indigenous people. So that will go into effect tomorrow. You may get an advisory or a bulletin on that. Also in the news today, the inflation number came in a little hotter than expected. The PCE inflation number for June came in at 0.3% on the month. It was in line with expectations, but it meant that the year-over-year number ticked up to 2.8%. So, as much as I don't like it, Jerome Powell is right when he says we think that there is inflation in the works. We just don't know how much, and because of it, he's not going to lower interest rates. Well, he got a little bit of vindication here today because the PCE number did come in showing an increase in the pace of inflation and a little bit above forecast as well. United States employers announced 62,000 job cuts in July. That's 29% higher than the June number and 140% above the year-ago total. This is a very significant story. You're not going to hear it on many national newscasts, but I think that you should. It means that U.S. employers are having to take those steps of laying people off, and that is going to lead to more people available to work, which should lead to lower wages. Now, that's a good thing, but that will likely result in that as there are more people that are applying for jobs. So the days of us having a million people for every job that's open, it's not quite, or one person for every million jobs open, is not quite that way anymore. So far this year, employers have announced about 805,000 job cuts, up 75% from the first 7 months of 2024. Government job cuts have been about 300,000 of them, so not quite half. But certainly all of those inflation numbers making a dent in the news cycle there. President Donald Trump has signed an executive order. This is interesting, I think. Reinstating the National Fitness Assessment Test. It was in place in public schools from 1956 until 2013 when Barack Obama did away with them. But in the Make America Healthy Again movement, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has been pushing for it. Trump says, yes, why would we not want our young people to be physically fit? And so they're going to bring this back. The president said in the executive order that he is trying to address Americans' declining health and physical fitness and says we have crisis levels of obesity, chronic disease, inactivity, and poor nutrition. This is one of those weird little cultural things. We talked yesterday about the whole thing of, you know, we don't want women to look attractive and form-fitting clothes and all. We want all of people who wear baggy clothes. You can't tell if it's a man or a woman. That was one weird thing that happened in the culture wars. This is another thing where, like, why did we decide that we don't have to make kids do the physical fitness assessment again? And it's one of those things, your kind of typical liberal person is not somebody who is someone who's out exercising and, you know, eating right, that kind of thing. And so the president is saying, let's do something different. Let's get people talking about that. So that's coming back. The president also said today that he's asking major pharmaceutical companies to take steps to cut U.S. drug prices within the next 60 days. Donald Trump is the kind of guy that says, you know what? I can get people to move by my position statements and trying to put pressure on people, just like he's done on some of these trade and tariff things. And so he said, I'm just going to tell drug companies they got to cut their prices. And you know what? I bet he finds a way to do it. He's kind of got that Midas touch going right now. He did extend Mexico's 25% tariffs for another 90 days. Tomorrow is supposed to be the deadline where all of the tariffs were going to go into effect, whether you had them done or not, if you were negotiating or whatever. But the president is making an exception here for Mexico, giving them 90 more days to negotiate. He says, we just haven't had time to get it all done. And despite saying earlier that, hey, if you don't have it done, too bad. Tariffs are going in. He has decided to make an exception in this case. The Washington Post has more than 100 people walking out the door. They have chosen at Washington Post to do buyouts of dozens of reporters and journalists. I guess, you know, insert your own joke here about that. But there are a lot of people that are wondering if this is the beginning of the end for the Washington Post. A winning lottery ticket, reports the forum, worth $150,000, was sold in Glendon in the Minnesota Lottery. It was a Go for Five jackpot ticket. Jackpot ticket sold to PetroServe USA. The store wins a little $1,500 bonus for selling the winning ticket as well. So how about that? Somebody in Glendon, $150,000 richer. And the Minnesota Twins have made a series of trades today where some of their most well-known players are on their way out the door. The most recent, Carlos Correa, is being traded to Houston, where he began his playing career there. We do not know what the Twins are getting in return yet. That's not been released yet. But they last night traded closer Joan Duran to the Philadelphia Phillies. Today they traded Harrison Bader to the Phillies and Brock Stewart to the Dodgers, a couple of one position player and one pitcher. Duran, as I mentioned last night, and then there were the two other pitchers traded earlier in the week. So the Twins getting rid of a lot of payroll, and a lot of Twins fans are really ticked off at Twins ownership right now, saying this team, they've been for 2 years now acting like they don't care if they win or not. They just want to save money. Well, they are trading some well-known and high-paid players for some prospects who don't cost you anything. So not sure how good the Twins are going to be next year, but it's going to be a very different-looking team, no question about that. Byron Buxton is still with the team. Joe Ryan is still with the team. A couple of all-stars that they want to hang on to. Royce Lewis is still with the team, but boy, just about all the other well-known guys that you know of are now on their way out the door. And those are some of the stories that are making headlines here on this Thursday afternoon. When we come back on the Steve Alstrom Show, I have to say, I'm surprised that two key members of the North Dakota state government who seem to be okay with eminent domain with a new pipeline project. We'll talk about it next. When it comes to life insurance, you might think that you've got coverage, and maybe you do, but if you're getting it through work, well, the company could cancel that plan at any time, you know, tight budgets and things like that. And if you move to a different company to work, well, that life insurance plan isn't going to move with you. So you got to have something that goes with you wherever you go, something that you can lock in for 10, 20, 30 years. DJ Coulter and the team at American Family Insurance, they are the people that can help you decide what is best for you. There's a lot of different ways to do life insurance, no doubt about that. You can do some policies that give you a little bit of a return on your investment over time. Others that just basically protect you for the basics that you need here from year to year. They can do it a number of different ways, but you got to have some good people on your side helping you figure it all out. And that's what you get with DJ Coulter and the team at American Family Insurance. Give them a call at 701-235-6641, 235-6641, 235-6641. There is a story that I saw in the Bismarck Tribune today that I thought was very interesting. Actually, I saw it last night from a meeting that took place yesterday in Bismarck, where a couple of big utility companies in the state are pitching natural gas pipeline projects on the grid in North Dakota. And if you followed this story, or if you've been listening to this show, we've talked about it quite a bit as well. And this natural gas pipeline from the Bakken coming to eastern North Dakota is what some of these big mega tech companies are looking at as a way to plug in to get liquid natural gas to fire up their AI data centers. And there are a number of companies that are just big regional players that are interested in doing that as well. So there was a conversation that happened with the Industrial Commission yesterday where these executives from these tech companies and utilities had a chance to come together and get questions answered about how this project might be able to help them. So that's kind of where the story, you could say, would normally come to an end. Conversations happening, people saying that we want to try to tap into this infrastructure piece. But this is a paragraph 10 story. And as I read down through this story, I was just kind of taking in all the details here. And then all of a sudden, I see the following note here. They, in the story in the Bismarck Tribune, they say the potential use of eminent domain for building out the pipeline was discussed as well. And I go, oh, okay. because this has been a big source of controversy, right? You remember the Summit Carbon Solutions pipeline? There was a lot of talk early on that they were threatening eminent domain, and they never should have, and that maybe torpedoed that project in South Dakota. Well, I was very interested to hear the comments of a couple people who seem to be willing to consider eminent domain for this liquid natural gas pipeline. One of them is the Ag Commissioner of North Dakota, Doug Goring. The other one was the governor of the state of North Dakota, Kelly Armstrong. Kelly said this, quote, "I don't care if it's a highway, bridge, transmission line, or pipeline. We are the geographic center of North America, and we produce a whole lot of things we cannot consume here. If we cannot get our products to market, we do not have an economy." Goring was a little more direct. He says, quote, "This has been blown way out of proportion because of a carbon dioxide pipeline. We struggle now to even talk about putting infrastructure in place that supports the public. We have a history of all the companies in the state that do business here. They go out and secure easements. They do a good job with that." Now, I don't think either of those statements necessarily come right out and say, yeah, well, take the farmland if you have to. Doesn't matter. We don't care about landowner rights. But the way this story is written, I wonder if there are comments that didn't make the story because it was led up to with comments about Summit Carbon Solutions and the controversial use of eminent domain. And the writer of the story said this, two of the three members of the Industrial Commission made comments at least somewhat sympathetic to the use of eminent domain for the gas line if it's ultimately needed. And then they give you the quotes there. So those quotes in and of themselves don't seem like, hey, we don't care about landowners. We don't care about family farms. We got to get this done. But you do wonder, based on how this story is written by the author, Joey Harris is the name of the author of the story, the writer, and the comments that showed up, if maybe Doug Goring and Kelly Armstrong are both open to eminent domain to make these projects happen. I think this would be a great opportunity for us to reach out to them and for other news organizations to say, okay, tell me what you really mean here, because what I am hearing you say is you are open to it. Whereas, like in South Dakota right now, there's no politician anywhere that you can find that says, I'm open to it. They have said, no way, no how are they going to have eminent domain. I've heard Kevin Cramer say, hey, you know, in some cases, you can make an argument for it. But I thought these comments were very interesting, and more particularly the way the story was written, that it made it seem like maybe these guys are more willing to consider eminent domain than I would be. I've said in the past, I just don't think that this is something that, you know, unless you're talking about national security of some kind, it's very hard for me to get to the point where I say, yep, family farm, you got to give up your land for a pipeline. To me, that I don't agree with that. Only in dire circumstances. And I don't know if this would be considered that. So thought that was interesting. All right, it's 4:34. I'm a little behind for my bottom of the hour update, but I thought that was an important story. I wanted to get that out there right away here in the program today. Are you surprised by that? Do you have anything you want to comment on that? Would love to hear from you at 701-271-1100. Let's go to the newsroom now for a check of headlines. Still plenty of summer left. Yeah, for golfing, getting out there, swinging the sticks a little bit. Still not too late to get out there and pick up the game if you haven't done that before. A round of golf on a beautiful course on a great day, man, it's tough to beat that. And you can save money on golfing if you go to the Big Deals page at am1100theflag.com. You can get gift certificates to save money on golf from the Meadows, Village Green over in Moorhead, Pebble Lake Golf Club in Fergus Falls, Dakota Winds Golf Course down in Hankinson, and if you just want to hit a bunch of balls and you don't really care where they go, Sweet Shots. Hey, $50 gift certificate at Sweet Shots, yours for $35. That's some pretty good savings right there. And some of the golf that we're talking about, Pebble Lake, $85 for a round of golf with a cart. $85 value, yours for $60. Dakota Wind, same thing, $80 for a round of golf with a cart. $60, so you're saving $20 Those are some nice golf courses there. So check that out, along with lots of other things in the big deals world there. Restaurants, health and beauty, professional services, lots of good stuff there on the big deals page at am1100theflag.com. Make sure that you check that out. Well, I have been wondering, what is that magic number, and maybe you have been too, that will get people interested in moving, buying a new house, maybe building a house, that kind of thing. There are a lot of people that are sitting on that, you know, 3.5% mortgage or 3%, and even some 15 years under 3%. And it's going to be tough to make those people move because you cannot beat a really low mortgage payment. And with rates where they're at right now, you can't find those 2s and 3s anymore. It's 7, something like that. Maybe a little under, maybe a little bit above. Well, the National Association of Realtors has come out with the magic number that they believe will get things moving. They say mortgage rates need to get below 6% to reinvigorate the frosty housing market. A 30-year fixed-rate mortgage at 6% would make the median price home affordable for about 5.5 million more households. So they believe that would get things kicked into gear. However, we're nowhere close to 6. We're about 1% above that. And those rates generally are not going to change no matter what the Federal Reserve does. Those rates are tied to long-term treasury notes and yields and things like that. So it's a little bit different of a game. But in case you're wondering, like I was, what's the number where the realtors think it's really going to matter? 6%. And we got a ways to go to get there. We're pleased to be joined now on the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line by Kendall Qualls. And he's announced as a candidate for governor for the state of Minnesota in the 2026 election, a Republican, a guy who went through this process before last time out, and is back for another run at it. And those of us who appreciate good, solid conservative values are thankful that Kendall Qualls is back in the race. Mr. Qualls, how are you? Good to talk to you again today.
I'm wonderful, Steve. I'm so glad to be back. Thank you.
Yes, sir. How are things going so far? What's the early return? What's the vibe? What's the feel like? The fundraising? How's everything going here? You announced maybe a month or so ago. So how's it gone so far?
It's gone quite well. In fact, we are ahead of our previous fundraising number when we ran the first time, and volunteers, we're double the number of volunteers at the same time last period.
Wonderful. Good things are happening there. If you get elected governor, you can maybe help us figure out how to fix the Twins. They're trading away all my favorite players here over the last 24 hours, Kendall. So there's a lot of problems in Minnesota we've got to fix, including our baseball team. Are you a big baseball fan? Have you been watching these trades and thinking, oh, no, they're losing all these good players?
Well, I am a baseball fan, but I haven't been able to keep up because of the campaign. But here's what we should learn from especially from the previous administration, this Wald administration here, is that the more you get government involved in the private sector, the more it gets screwed up.
Yeah, so that's right.
I'm in the philosophy of staying out of that and letting the experts deal with it. The market does it the best.
Yep, you're right about that. Yep, you are right about that. So I want to talk a little bit today about a letter you sent to the Attorney General, Pam Bondi, after the whole flap that went down when Steve Simon, the Secretary of State, and his department refused to release Minnesota's voter registration data. So you heard about this and said, hey, we got to do something. So you sent a letter to Pam Bondi. Tell us about this.
Yeah, I had 3 points around this, Steve. First of all, we were the first ones to respond to Pam Bondi in regards to the request for the voting records, and when our Steve Simons, the Secretary of State, denied it. We're the first ones going like, whoa, no. That's not something that we want to just lay over, not have a response to. And so the 24 hours later, some of the legislators responded as well. I've reached out to the chairman of the state party. We need to make sure that we're engaged on this, and we don't let Simon get away with this. Because here's a scenario. There's really 3 points. Number one, he should make sure that all Minnesotans, even Republicans, have a clear conscience that we have fair and genuine elections, regardless of the outcomes. And right now, we don't have that. We don't have that sentiment in this state. Number two, this resistance movement is getting old. You know, this is not occupied France. President Trump didn't storm the White House and take over in tanks. We elected him there. He won the Electoral College as well as the popular vote, the first Republican to do so in almost over 20 years. And we never used to have this resistance movement because we are a constitutional republic. The people voted him in, and there is no resistance. Once the people vote him in, then the opposing party then works with the administration to advance the narrative, advance the policies that's best for our country.
Yeah, I agree. The Department of Justice is trying, I think, to act on behalf of the American people that want legal and trustworthy elections. And so they're trying to get the information to make sure that that's happening. And the Secretary of State's office says, no, we're not going to comply with this request. And Kendall, you know, Governor Walz and the administration there in St. Paul, I remember them saying, we've got the most transparent, the most secure, the most trustworthy elections in the country, but yet they won't release the state's voter registration list. How do we reconcile those two things?
Hey, I'm all in favor of it. You know, let's take it to court. If we need to do that, let's do it. We'll win ultimately when we do that. The ultimate goal is the transparency and trust. And if you're not willing to allow, you know, for it to be audited or to be inspected, then obviously there's issues there. You're hiding something.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And in the case of this particular situation, the Secretary of State's office is saying the DOJ doesn't have a legal right to access that list. Doesn't the federal government, the Department of Justice, as being the overall kind of overarching legal watchdog, don't they have a legal right to anything going on with the states to make sure that it's happening correctly? Don't they have the authority to request that?
You know, here's a sad fact around this, Steve. Look, and some of your listeners may not know that I'm black. I'm a black American, and I identify as an American, but I'm not confused in the morning when I wake up and shave and see my face. Okay, yes, I'm black, but I'm an American first. Here's the scenario, and you know, if you rewind this back into the 1960s, that you have a black man running for governor, and the Democrat Party is hiding, or not just hiding, you know, basically resisting inspections of voting records to make sure there's fair elections, you would think that there would be a civil rights violation. Mm-hmm. Again, this is the Democrats acting nefariously when it comes to voting records. That's usually their stick, is that the Republicans are trying to, you know, restrict voting access. No, we're not. We're trying to have the right voting access, because I'm going to tell you, I am their number one fear of having them to be on the top of the Republican ticket in this next election round. Mm-hmm. I am their number one fear, not just because of my race. It's because of my story, my American story, and the fact that we were able to achieve my American dream as a lifelong Republican in the private sector, serving our country in the military, and raising my children, raising my five children,
yes,
and having a successful life, having never been on public assistance.
Mm. Yeah, it's a great resume that you piled up, and I love it when we have people that come from all different walks of our society and all different backgrounds that come together and say, let's make this country better, let's make this state better. And we sure appreciate that we got a guy like you who's ready to fight those battles and that is willing to get involved in these conversations as well. Because if you've got nothing to hide, then let's prove that we have a very good system here and, quote unquote, shut up all the dissenters and the people like us who are saying, I think things are fishy in Minnesota. This is a great way to do it, but they don't seem to want to do that. And doesn't that make it seem like they're maybe up to something no good, Kendall, when they're not making this information available?
Well, exactly. And you know what? They've had the media in the past to have, you know, the cover for them. Well, they don't have that anymore. You know, that's waning influence that we have. But the biggest thing is we have an ally in the White House.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, we can keep them honest, if you will.
Yes.
And so that's what we plan on doing. We're going to hold them accountable all the way through the election, and they're going to have someone that's going to be that's just championing the free market enterprise, capitalism, freedom, you know, basically get the yoke off the back of businesses and of taxes as well as of personal taxes, one of the highest in the country.
Yeah.
And we need to start. And Steve, here's the one thing that I speak. I'm actually coming back from Chippewa County Fair right now as we speak, and I'm heading to Jackson County Fair tomorrow. And when I speak to people at the end of my conversation, I say this: I am so sick and tired of Ron DeSantis having all the fun down there.
Hmm.
It's time to bring some freedom and liberty back up here to Minnesota and start getting our swag back.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you've talked about a person who I speak of often on this program. Florida is the freest state in the country, and it is a home run every day from Ron DeSantis and his administration down there. So I'm with you. Let's have a little more fun here. Before I let you go, Kendall, I have to ask you about this kind of rising movement. Mamdani in New York City, Omar Fateh in Minneapolis, who wants to be the mayor of this city, and he's now getting some traction just like Mamdani is in New York City. And we already know that Minneapolis has way too much communism in it already and just dysfunction within the government there. As governor, what would you do to try to make sure that Minneapolis is something that actually makes sense? Because most of us that look at Minneapolis right now, we say, my gosh, what are they doing? They're trying to kill that city. And if you have Minneapolis residents in there who are trying to figure out how to have a productive life in Minneapolis when you've got someone with the ideas of Fateh, that's a problem. As a governor, what would you do to try to make sure that Minneapolis still makes sense and actually does some things well with the state of Minnesota looking on?
Yeah, absolutely, Steve. So a couple of things. Number one, we can't be a great state without a great Minneapolis. And
yes,
we're going to get that back from a safety standpoint. So one of the things we're looking at doing as part of our policies, and you'll see this rolled out on our website, we're going to recruit anywhere between 400 to 500 law enforcement officers at the state level, and they'll be coordinated by the state public safety commissioner, the public commissioner for safety, and that commissioner will coordinate with the two police chiefs of the Twin Cities. And we're going to redeploy those 400 and 500 law enforcement officers into the Twin Cities, whether the city council wants them there or not,
mm-hmm.
or the mayor wants them there or not.
Mm.
They're in the jurisdiction. Those cities are in the jurisdiction of the state, and we have a responsibility to keep that city safe. And right now, they're not doing it. They're down 40 to 50% of police officers on both cities. But the other part of it is that anything that they get out of line as far as, not necessarily following, the statutes of their charter as a city, we'll be watching.
Yeah.
We'll be overseeing it like a teenager with a permit to drive the car.
Mm. Well, I love that you're talking about law enforcement because that's the number one thing you have to do. You have to have public safety. And these socialists and communists, they do not respect that. So we need strong governors, and unfortunately we don't have one right now in Minnesota. And we hope that it's someone like yourself who gets that opportunity, because it doesn't have to be this way in Minneapolis and in Minnesota. And there is so much more that we can do. And we're glad that you're running for that office, Kendall. We appreciate so much you taking the time to visit with us today. And thanks for getting involved in this conversation, too, with the voter rolls in Minnesota. It's so important. Thanks a lot for your time today.
Thank you, Steve. And if I can, the web address is kqformn.com, kqformn.com.
Yes, sir. We'll do it. Make sure everybody goes and checks it out. Support this gentleman in his path to try to restore some common sense to Minnesota. Thank you, Kendall.
Thank you.
All right. Yep, you got it. Take care. Have a good rest of your evening. When we come back on the Steve Hallstrom Show, the door kick challenge is turning into a problem, and authorities want you to be aware of this. It's a public safety issue. That's next. All right, there's a new social media fad out there, It's called the Door Kick Challenge. People go up to residences in the middle of the night and then kick the front door as hard as they can, then they take off. Well, authorities are reminding people that want to take part in this challenge that in some states, you could end up having a bullet headed your way by people that are scared that your home is being broken into. And in some states, people have got the right to protect themselves. And if they think that there's an intruder coming in, they say this type of behavior is stupid and dangerous. So, Addison, don't be going and kicking doors in the middle of the night.
I can't say it was on my to-do list.
You're a smart man. Hour two of the program coming up next. Let's do the 5 o'clock hour of the Steve Hallstrom Show, shall we? If you're just joining us, just getting off of work at 5, well, we're glad that you're hanging out with us here for a little bit on your way home. Going to be a beautiful evening, it looks like. If it weren't for that darn smoke, it would be about a perfect evening, I think. A lot of sunshine out there, light breeze today. Really nice day. How warm is it here? What do we got? 76 today, so a little below average. But 76 in the summer, we'll take that. Yeah, should be a beautiful night. Hope you can enjoy it. If you're someone who has a lot of sensitivity to smoke in the air and you can't be outside on days like this, oh, I feel so bad for you. I was just telling Tracy and I were talking about that this morning, and with the smoke, I've never had to change any of my outdoor runs for marathon training or anything like that because of the smoke. I guess I got lucky on that, on the genealogy side of things. It's not been an issue for me, but I know it is a big deal for a lot of people. And gosh darn, I mean, if you can't be outside on beautiful nights like this because of wildfire smoke, man, summer is short enough as it is. So hope that you're able to enjoy it in some way or shape. All right, I want to remind you that coming up tonight at 6:30 on WDAY Radio, if you're a Vikings fan, we got just the thing for you, the Purple and Gold Preseason Report. It is a season preview for the Minnesota Vikings, and I'll be joined by a number of folks to help break down the Vikings season and look ahead to what this season might offer. So it should be a good one. Basically, the Cliff Notes version of the whole thing is they got a lot of talent on that team. And an absolute unknown at quarterback. We have no idea. The guy could be really, really good, or he could be a bust. Chances are he'll be somewhere in the middle. And that should make it for a very interesting season for the Minnesota Vikings. 6:30 to 8 tonight over on WDAY, if you are so inclined. All right, let's get to the 5 o'clock, the top 5 at 5. I almost said the 5 o'clock wrap, but we don't have one of those. We have the 4 o'clock wrap and the top 5 at 5. And it is brought to you by Nancy Kelly Realty. Go to nancykellyrealty.com and find out more about Colfax Meadows, where small-town living is still a thing. Here are what I believe to be the 5 most consequential stories in the news cycle today. These are stories that pass the so what test in my book. Story number 1, the Bismarck Tribune reports that during a recent meeting yesterday of the North Dakota Industrial Commission, that two members made comments at least somewhat sympathetic to the use of eminent domain for a natural gas pipeline that is being planned from the Bakken that would go down through Bismarck and then over to the eastern part of the state and ending up in Fargo. Now, the board itself does not have the power to decide if eminent domain can be used, but according to the story that I'm reading from the Bismarck Tribune, they seem to be willing to put it on the table. And I have felt for some time that in the Dakotas, and probably western Minnesota as well, people around here are very much hands-off when it comes to you taking land from family farm or whatever it might be for these public projects. And we all get that there is benefits to the state economically and whatever, but it is that sort of holy grail issue of property rights. Well, in the case of this conversation about the liquid natural gas pipeline, both Ag Commissioner Doug Goring and Governor Kelly Armstrong apparently are willing to keep it on the table. So the comments that I heard that were quoted in the story aren't exactly pounding the table strong endorsements of it. Maybe that's on purpose. Maybe there were things that were said or done that didn't make the story. They give more of a reinforcement to this idea that this is how these gentlemen really feel about it. Kelly Armstrong's comment was, quote, "I don't care if it's a highway, bridge, transmission line, or pipeline. We are the geographic center of North America, and we produce a whole lot of things we cannot consume here. If we cannot get our products to market, we do not have an economy." Okay? Now, I would tell you two things can be true at the same time. You can believe exactly what Kelly Armstrong said there and also believe that eminent domain is not an option and it should not be allowed to be used for a natural gas pipeline. So how does Kelly really feel about it? It's going to be a question I'm going to ask him when we can get him on the program coming up. We have him scheduled for, I think, next week. So, no, we don't either. We don't either. It'll be a couple weeks yet, so we may have to try to schedule some time with him between now and then. Ag Commissioner Doug Goring, according to the article, was more blunt, saying, quote, this has been blown way out of proportion because of a carbon dioxide pipeline. We struggle now to even talk about putting infrastructure in place that supports the public. We have a history of all the companies in the state that do business here. They go out and secure easements. They do a good job with that. Again, I would say you can believe every word of that, which I don't have any reason to disagree with any part of that, and still feel like I do not want eminent domain to be used on an LNG pipeline from the Bakken to the eastern side of the state. Yes, it's been blown way out of proportion. Yes, there's a lot of heightened sensitivity there. And yes, it comes up a lot, but you can believe all of that and still believe that we shouldn't have eminent domain being used. In South Dakota, the entire state government has basically said that eminent domain is a non-starter. Now, I do believe that there are some cases where you have to have it on the table, but boy, that's got to be something in the arena, I believe, of public security. I don't know if you can say that economic opportunity for the state is something that requires allowances for eminent domain. I don't know that you can say that. I would be interested in what you think about this. Maybe it's just me, but I think you can have a very important economic development and also say, you know what, we're not going to allow you to take family farms or land or whatever it might be. Unless we're talking about something that's needed for, you know, existence or basic needs or public security, public safety. I don't know. I've got a problem with that one. But I think we need a further clarification from these two gentlemen. Story number two, the Feather Alert is going to launch tomorrow. It was introduced and passed in the 2025 North Dakota legislature. It's basically another one of these Amber Alerts, Silver Alerts. This one for indigenous people. So it goes into effect tomorrow. The reason I put this in here is let me be the guy to ask the question. I am very thankful that we care about people that are missing. Obviously, our Native American friends and neighbors, we need to be respectful there. But how many of these sort of color alerts are we going to have? Amber, blue, feather, gray, silver. We've got all kinds of these reports now. And will we have another one when it comes to the Hmong population? Will we have one for people of African American descent? Or, Indian, like Hindu Indian? I don't know that we need another category. Maybe we do. There's no harm in it, I guess. But at one point, do we have enough categories already? And can't we just, you know, if they call missing endangered person, can we not use that to keep the indigenous population involved? I don't know. It just feels like we're getting a little carried away. But like I said, maybe there's no harm in this one. Story number three. This is one you're not going to hear very many places. It was sort of a footnote on the inflation reading that came in today, a little hotter than we've seen in recent months and a little hotter than expected. But it's the layoff numbers. This according to the human resources consulting firm Challenger, Gray, and Christmas. And they do this report every month. But U.S. employers announced 62,000 job cuts in July. In June, the number was 48,000. So that's about 29, almost 30% higher than the June number, and 140% above the year ago total for July. This is a pretty big increase here. And when you look at where we are in the first 7 months of the year, we've had 806,000 job cuts, whereas last year it was 460,000. So we're up 75%. Now, government cuts are a big part of this. The DOGE government, federal government cuts, that's about 300,000 of them. So you add the 300,000 to the 460, you get to 760. But even without the government cuts, we still have an increasing pace to the layoffs. The reason this matters is because when you take into account the labor market issues, if the Federal Reserve is on the fence for cutting rates and we see there's some weakness in the jobs market, that might be enough to get them off the fence and push them into making something happen. So I don't know that this Fed is leaning that way, but I just thought if for no other reason just to look at those numbers, that was pretty interesting. All right, story number four, President Trump is going to reinstate the National Fitness Assessment, the test that we all had to take back in the day as part of the Make America Healthy Again campaign. And this was discontinued in 2012 by Barack Obama. And isn't it something how many of the just little culture war battles were fought? Why would you have repealed this? Why would you have taken this out of the curriculum? I don't know, but Obama did. Trump's putting it back in. I like it. I think we need to have this. And then finally, a National Association of Realtors has said, hang in there a little bit. If your mortgage rate is a little that you want, maybe you want to buy a house, mortgage rates are too high, or you want to refinance, they say hang in there, and we might be able to make, we might be able to see some progress. National Association of Realtors say that they see interest rates getting under 6% sometime in the next 12 months. So you won't hear that very many places, but I thought that was interesting that they think the rates are going to come down somewhere in the next 12 months or so. So we'll see. Right now they're about 7%, and the NAR says if we can get rates under 6, we get about 5.5 million more people that would be able to qualify for a mortgage, and we get homes moving on the market a little bit more, maybe some home starts going also. So I thought that was interesting there. Mark in Grand Forks wants to weigh in on the conversation here today. Hey, Mark, good afternoon. How are you?
Well, good, Steve. How are you? Thanks for taking the call.
Yes, sir.
So you and I spoke a few weeks ago, and this is right as the Big Beautiful Bill was passing. And there was two things in there, under the National Firearms Act. There was the Hearing Protection Act, and there was the Short Act, is looking at repealing or taking away some of the taxation for NFA items. And so they dropped, as of the beginning of the year, it's going to be dropped from $200 per NFA item down to $0 per NFA item. And that sounds great. But as I pointed out back then, if it's only essentially a $200, essentially a coupon for a while, the next time the Democrats get in power, they're going to revisit this. And if they don't completely repeal these things, that thing's going to go sky high. Well, I hate to be right all the time, but Chris Murphy,
here you are.
I know one of your favorites. Chris Murphy, I know one of your guys, one of your favorites out of Connecticut.
Oh, yeah.
Deep blue Democrat. He just introduced a bill to say we need to revisit this. And so we need to account for inflation ever since the 1930s. And he is proposing, now I don't think this is going to pass, but he has proposed a bill for a tax of $4,709 per NFA item that somebody registers. Mm. So I guess what I'm saying, and I had a conversation on another station with Senator Kramer about this morning.
What? There's another station in this town? When did this happen?
Well, no. And since then, I've ripped it off and I've soldered it all to your station. But the question that I put out there for these alleged conservatives is, number one, when are we going to start playing hardball with the Democrats and actually give people back rights, privileges, and liberties? And number two, and this is a big one for people on both sides of the aisle to consider, when are we going to be fine? And what other amendments in the Constitution, constitutional freedoms, what are you fine with being taxed in order to use that freedom? How about you ladies out there? You know, is it fine to tax you if you go to the polls to vote? How about black people? Same thing. You know, should we have to pay a tax so we don't have illegal search and seizures in our homes? Go right on down the line. Should we be taxed with what kind of speech we could use? I mean, these things are taxes. And, you know, the answer I got back, well, repealing that was a procedural thing, and that's why the parliamentarian said no. But it's not. You look back in the 30s at the testimony for when this went through, and it was absolutely a tax because they couldn't take away our rights. And so they wanted to tax it on NFA items. So I'm going to throw that out there to people, and I'd be interested in your comments as well.
Well,
if we don't get this repealed, we're going to lose freedoms.
Yeah. Mark, thanks a lot for giving a call. There's a lot there. I thought you unpacked it really well, so I appreciate you doing that. I think Mark makes a really good point here in that – you either have a freedom or you don't. And if you have a freedom, it should not come with a price tag. And so this it overlaps into the conversation about property taxes, where there's been a lot of debate now about that. Texas and Florida are both trying to figure out ways where they can abolish property taxes there, because as long as you have to pay tax, you don't really own your home, even if you own it outright. You still have to pay on that. So I'm really glad when people like Mark find an issue and say, hey, here's another area where, yeah, I've got a freedom. Yes, I can exercise it, but I got to pay an exorbitant amount of money to do that. So I think the awareness is really important, and I'm glad that Mark brought that to us today. As far as the ins and outs, Mark, I don't know the issue well enough off the top of my head to speak with a lot of detail on it, but I do like the principle that you bring up and the awareness that you bring to this issue today. So thanks for doing that. It's 424 here on the Steve Hallstrom Show. When we come back, Skol Storylines. We're going to talk Minnesota Vikings football, and we're going to talk specifically about the offensive line. That could be a position where Minnesota's got one of the top three or four offensive lines in football, but a few things have to come together. We'll talk about it next. Row and Joe Junk Haul and Removal, that is your best source for the people to take care of that junk that you need to get out of your life. When it's got to go, call Row and Joe. That's what they say. ROENJOJunk.com. That's ROENJOJunk.com. Get it taken care of now. Won't be too long before the snow will be flying. You'll wonder, what in the world was I doing not taking care of that problem? Residential, commercial, clean out, hoarding, clear out, light demolition and removal, they can do it all. Row and Joe, Junk Haul and Removal. All right, well, every day here on the program this week, I'm taking a couple of minutes to talk about a storyline with the Minnesota Vikings. We are having a special tonight on WDAY Radio, FM 93.1 and AM 970, talking more about these things in depth, but giving you a little bit of an appetizer here. We're calling it Skol Storylines. I want to talk about the offensive line today. It's brought to you by Balance CPA, ND Estate Services, ATI Diesel, and Premier Building Systems. So the Minnesota Vikings offensive line has been a source of frustration for many Vikings fans and coaches and quarterbacks too over the years. But the Vikings have gotten serious about their offensive line in a way that we've never seen them ever in franchise history get serious about it. They already had two very good tackles. And the tackle, if you're not so familiar with it, there's five offensive linemen. There's a center in the middle, a guard on either side next to the center, and then tackles on the outside. And that's where the good pass rushers generally line up, at the tackle position. And the best athletes on the defense, big, strong, fast, quick guys, they line up against the tackles. The Vikings have Christian Darrisaw and Brian O'Neill, two guys that they're good. I don't know if you'd say that they're both all pros, but they're both very good. But they've had a lot of trouble over the last 10 years with the center and the guard positions. So this year they went out and got two free agents, one at center, one at right guard, both from the Indianapolis Colts, that are considered above average players at their position. And at the other spot, at left guard, they drafted a player number 28 overall in the first round, one of the first offensive lineman taken in the draft, Donovan Jackson at left guard, one of the first guards taken in the draft. And so Darrisaw and Donovan Jackson on the left side, Will Fries and Brian O'Neill on the right side, and Ryan Kelly, the center, in the middle. I saw one talent service or analytical service say that the Minnesota Vikings will have one of the top five offensive lines in football. And I said, okay. And it's a source that has a lot of credibility. And so I am very much looking forward to this. Now, the Vikings have drafted some guards and centers recently in the last few years, fairly high. First, second round draft picks, they just haven't worked out. So this Donovan Jackson will be a very, very important draft pick. And the administration of the Vikings really needs him to become the kind of player that they think that he can become, because it's very important that they stop missing on some of these players there. Now, behind those front five that we're talking about, there's really only one backup player, Blake Brandel, who has done much of anything in the NFL. There's a lot of guys there, but they're all young, or they're kind of free agent guys that haven't really been pegged for greatness in this league. The Minnesota Vikings have a brand new quarterback this year, and they're going to need that front five, those five guys I talked about, to stay healthy this year, because if they get an injury to any one of those guys, they can maybe sustain one injury before you end up in some trouble, two or more, and then things could look very different and very difficult for them with a first-year starter, J.J. McCarthy, at quarterback. So that's a look at the Minnesota Vikings offensive line. It's brought to you by Balance CPA. More than just accountants, they're trusted business partners committed to your success. ND Estate Services. Say goodbye to unnecessary taxes, avoid probate, and make sure your family's future is secure. ATI Diesel, your diesel truck experts. And Premier Building Systems, family-owned with years of experience. We got a check of news and weather coming up right now for you. And then when we come back, Jesse Johnner, Cass County Sheriff, will be with us. The new crackdown associated with the new jail is about to take place. Better get those warrants taken care of. That and more as we continue on the Steve Alstrom Show. Are you thinking about a remodel on your home? Not too late in the summer to start thinking about that. Get a plan together. There are several advantages in building up. Preserve your yard, potentially lower costs, increase property value by going vertical. Consult with the pros at Delta Design and Construction to make sure that you get the job done well and on budget. Great time to get on the schedule right now. And the gang at Delta Design and Construction, they've been making people happy in this community for a long time. They would love to visit with you also about your project, your ideas, trying to make your dreams come true. 701-235-1212, 235-1212, or you can go online to deltadesign.biz and find out more about the team that can help make those dreams come true for you. The Sheriff's Office of Cass County has got about 2,000 active misdemeanor warrants. I'm reading in a story today in the forum, and that information came from our next guest, Cass County Sheriff Jesse Johnner. And of those 2,000 people or so that have warrants out there, many of them will no doubt be trying to get them taken care of after they hear the news that Jesse's going to give us here in just a minute, because they are cracking down on some of these people that have not taken care of the things that they need to do. So we welcome Jesse to the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line. Good afternoon, Sheriff Johnner. How are you?
Good afternoon, Steve. How are you?
Excellent. Appreciate you taking a few minutes here. You and I had a chat about this when I had a chance to tour the jail, the new jail wing the other day. And by the way, congrats to you and your team. It looks like it's really, really well thought out. Plans have come together, and you're just about ready to start breaking that in. But when I was over there, you said, you know, we have about 2,000 active warrants out there, and now that we've got the room, people want to get these things taken care of, because we're going to become come looking for people here pretty soon. Tell us about it.
Yeah, well, first off, thanks for bringing up the potential opening here over the next couple weeks, where we are excited about it. We've been very limited over the last couple years on some of those arrests that have been made by officers, misdemeanors, of course, arrests that haven't been you know, a lot of concerns for public safety because we just didn't have any capacity. And our community knows that. I've been talking about that for a couple of years. But I appreciate the collaboration with our commissioners to get this thing built. The day-to-day accommodations that our leadership team has made to try to find room to keep our community safe. But yeah, now that we're ending that, or we're nearing that end goal, we do have some things that we need to consider, take care of, so to speak. And that is a number of people that we came into contact with during our capacity issues that had misdemeanor type charges, again, that weren't public safety issues, because if they were, then they were still brought in, even if it was a misdemeanor. That didn't take care of these warrants, and now we're at a point where we've got a little over 2,000, like you said, 2,025, and we want people to get those cleared up. So we've got about a 2 to 3 week window here where people can call into our hotline, 701-241-1283, and work with our clerical staff at the sheriff's office and the court system to set up maybe some new court dates or maybe some sort of a bond schedule with the court, because a lot of these warrants are from people just not showing up for court or not fulfilling their end of making payments on some sort of a fine or something of that nature.
I apologize. I thought you were finished with what you were saying there. Since we kind of broke that train of thought, let me ask you this. When I think of, we have people that we should be arresting, but we haven't because we haven't had the space there. Boy, that makes it real to me in a hurry that there are people that should be in jail, but because of the space limitations, they're basically walking free. Does that ring? I mean, you're in this every day, I know, so it's probably more academic than it is for the rest of us. But boy, I think about that and I say, boy, this jail, the new jail pod there with the new capacity, it couldn't get here soon enough, knowing that.
Exactly. As I mentioned before, Steve, I think when you and I talked, there over the last couple of years, there's been approximately 1,500 people that law enforcement has come into contact with that because the jail was full. Those individuals couldn't be brought in. Now we were doing a matrix to determine, or using some sort of a guideline here that we came up with to determine who we needed to bring in and who we could potentially, issue a court date further on down the line and still feel comfortable with those people not coming in. So there were a number of things that we looked at. We looked at people's criminal history. What were they being charged for? Did they have any violent histories? And that was just mostly on misdemeanors. Felonies were still being brought in. And if the person had a misdemeanor and it was a public safety issue, then that person was brought in as well. But you can imagine that 1,500 people. And so what happened is, let me give you an example here. So you're driving around, you have a suspended license, law enforcement pulls you over for a traffic violation. They run your license and you're suspended. Typically that person might come to jail to either pay their bond or get a court date. Mm-hmm. Well, because the jail was full, we would give that person a court date down the line and they wouldn't come to jail. But then some of these people didn't go to court, right? So then a warrant gets issued for them, or maybe they had a fine they needed to pay off in reference to that traffic stop and they didn't do that. So that's really what we're looking at here. But at the end of the day, right, I mean, all of us have to have laws that, you know, we have to follow the rule of law, and people have to be accountable to make sure that they're doing the right things. Those laws that have been put into play by our legislators and things like that. So people do need to be held accountable for that. And so we really want to give people an opportunity over these next 2 to 3 weeks to take it upon themselves to be responsible and get these things taken care of. Because once the doors are open, then we're going to activate our warrants unit again, and they'll become very active. And what we don't like to do, if we don't have to, is go to people's places of employment, because that disrupts the business, the employer. And really, you know, we don't want to do that if we don't have to. But at the end of the day, these individuals do need to take responsibility and get things taken care of.
Yes. So you're going from about 350 capacity in the jail to about 550. So that this extra, I guess it's 192 to be exact, really does change the picture there for capacity. So I think that's an important note for the people that for the people in our community to know what that number looks like. Jesse, can you give people some reassurance, though, that it's not like we've had a bunch of axe murderers walking around that haven't been arrested because they've got warrants out there? You've still been working hard at making sure that the violent offenders, the people that can't be on the street, really shouldn't be in circulation, that they've been taken care of, correct?
Yeah, that is correct. We do have one of our persons assigned to the U.S. Marshal Fugitive Task Force, and that's a collaboration with several agencies, and they go out and look for the people that have the really dangerous outstanding warrants and the public safety issues, the felonies and things like that. So that unit stayed active during the time that the jail was full. We always made sure that we had room for those individuals because, we certainly didn't want anyone to get hurt. In fact, the whole time that the jail was full, I mean, I had a number of sleepless nights because even with misdemeanors, I mean, if we can't take them in at the end of the day, that comes down to me. And if I don't have the room, I don't have the room, right? But once that officer brings them to us and we don't accept them, then it pretty much falls on our office and me as the sheriff. But we just didn't have the room. I mean, we had people all over the state at different jurisdictions. If you remember, we entered into a contract with Clay County. We were trying to house people everywhere to accommodate whatever we could. And I really do got to give my staff credit and our local law enforcement partners because they worked through some tough situations daily to try to figure out who is going to, you know, prioritize in those arrests and who's going to come in. So it was a little tough on everyone. We did our best to make it through these last two years here to maintain a high level of public safety. But at the end of the day, it's tough when your jail's full. And now that we have the room, we feel really, really good. I'm excited about it. And it gives those officers an opportunity to go back and do what they are paid to do, and that's to keep our streets safe.
Yes, 100% right. Jesse, when you take a look at the future here, I know you've done projections about the county and the growth that we're expecting here. It's great that we're adding the kind of capacity that we are, but I imagine there will come a day down the line when we'll run out of room even with 550 beds available. What does that timeline look like? At what point in the future do you say, you know, we're probably going to start having to look at expanding the facility 5, 10, 15, 20 years from now? What does that look like?
Well, I hope we don't have to do that, but you're certainly right. Steve, we most certainly with a growing community, those are things we have to consider. When these 192 beds were put in, there was a consulted firm that does projections all over the United States, and they're usually pretty close on track with what agencies need for the next, you know, 10-year outlook. And so that study was done here as well before the 192 beds were added. And when they're looking at things, they look at crime trends, you know, how sentencing guidelines and how judges are sentencing people, the growth of our community. There's a number of things that they consider. And, you know, after doing that, this is what they recommended for us for the next 10 years. Now, the issue a little bit comes with that is that now we're already, 2 years into construction. So that 2 years now is down to 8, right, because we're 2 years into the construction. So that took 2 years there. And then the state pen, as a majority of your listeners know, is full.
Yep.
And that puts pressure back on us. And when we did that study, the state pen wasn't rejecting as many people as they are now because we're 2 years later in that, and they're more full than they were 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. So that wasn't in that calculation. So unfortunately, that might trim the time down just a little bit.
Okay. All right. Well, very good. Well, we're thankful that we have what we have and that it will allow you folks who serve us so well day in and day out to do the job well with good facilities and good capacity there. Jesse, thanks a ton for taking a few minutes. Thanks for all you and your team do to keep us safe here in this community, and appreciate you taking a few minutes on the phone today.
No problem. Have a great day.
Thanks a lot. You too. Cass County Sheriff Jesse Johnner joining us here on the Steve Hallstrom Show. All right. We've got somebody here who's a little irritated with Governor Armstrong. It says Kelly Armstrong is a one-term governor. He messed up on the property tax relief. So we got to dig into this. That when we come back on the Steve Hallstrom Show. Snowbusters LLC is your local source for small engine repair in the FM area. And Snowbusters is proud to announce that they are an authorized dealer of Ferris brand lawnmowers, well known for their multi-patented suspension technology, commercial-grade zero-turn lawnmowers that come up they come with decks up to 72 inches and Cat Turbo diesel engines up to 48 horsepower, all while providing a smooth ride. Give Snowbusters a call today, 218-512-0538, 218-512-0538. Or go online to snowbustersfm.com, snowbustersfm.com, and find out more about those Ferris brand mowers over there in Moorhead. All right. I saw this note come in on the text line, and I said, oh, okay, so it's like that. We were talking about Kelly Armstrong in the eminent domain conversation, and the story is that Kelly Armstrong said at a Public Service Commission meeting that He said, look, if we can't get our products to market, we don't have a state, we don't have an economy. And the writer of the article for the Bismarck Tribune sort of positioned that as saying that Kelly Armstrong was one of two people who made comments seeming to leave the door open for the use of eminent domain to make a natural gas pipeline from western North Dakota to eastern side of the state possible. And I told you when I read the comment from Kelly, I thought, okay, I don't know that that's a like a strong endorsement of eminent domain. Like, yeah, no problem. Let's do it. Keep it on the table. But the author of the story seemed to think that Armstrong is open to that. Well, from the text line, I get this just a couple minutes after that happened. Kelly Armstrong is a one-term governor. He totally messed up property tax relief. It's going to cost him big time. As it should. Okay. Now, I was one of those people that thought that the Measure 4 issue is one that I thought would be, in the long run, very beneficial for our state and certainly beneficial for landowners. Was it perfect? No. But was it? Would it have been very effective in completely changing the conversation of property taxes 100%? But it didn't go through. I was in the minority on that one and not by a couple of votes either. So when someone says that Kelly Armstrong will not be reelected in 4 years here because he totally messed up property tax relief and is going to cost him big time, I don't know that I believe that that's true. I think Kelly Armstrong has a very good reputation. I think people in places like Fargo, where our property taxes are ridiculous, feel like that the legislature, they did something, right? I mean, it's not nothing, but I think we feel like, boy, there was a lot more that could have been done. But you go to most places in North Dakota, and $1,500 off your real estate tax bill is most of your tax bill, if not all of it. So I don't know. I mean, I appreciate the sentiment there, because I would have liked to see a lot more having been done too, but it didn't. And I just don't think that there's going to be much of a bruise on Kelly Armstrong from that one at all. But I could be wrong on that. I know that there are some people that are really going to work hard on this issue and try to press for more, and I'm glad for that, because I think we do have the ability to get uncomfortable as a state government more than we are right now to make something additionally happen. But I don't know that I agree there. I've been wrong before, though. So thanks for letting me know your thoughts on that one. A little breaking news has come in here over the last few minutes. We now know the forum has put a breaking news advisory out that the person killed in the collision between the city of Moorhead Public Works truck and the person on the bike was a 9-year-old boy. It happened at 40th Avenue South and 14th Street South. The city of Moorhead's press release says a city vehicle collided with the boy at the intersection, and the boy ended up passing away from injuries there. I'm saying bike, but maybe I'm making that up. I'm not seeing on a bike. I'm just seeing at a crosswalk, and it hit the child in the crosswalk. Maybe there was a bike, maybe there was not. Happened just east of the Azul Hornbacher's grocery store. Either way, a very sad story on this one. Prayers and blessings to the family. Oh, How'd you like to find out your 9-year-old boy that happened to them today? Have a good night, my friend. Keep on flying that flag.